I'd always recommend that people try and master a talk, just one talk, before they move on to the second talk that they want to master, before they move on to the third talk that they want to master. And I've only just...
Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast. We're leading a healthcare revolution by showing natural health and fitness experts how to become community influencers so they can build profitable, predictable, and enjoyable practices. Each week, we share simple, easily actionable expert branding and heart-centered marketing strategies so you can flood your practice with high-quality patients, building a healthier and happier community. And now your hosts, Angus Pike and Tony Rose.
Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast. Tony and Angus here. And this episode, we chatted with Damien Christoph. Now, Damien, he's a TV presenter. He's a chiropractor. He's a naturopath. He's a public speaker. He's one of the wellness guys. He's been podcasting for 6 years. He's had hundreds of episodes on 100 Not Out and the Wellness Guys, and an all-round superstar. And one of the ways that he has built his following, built his practice, had more people engaged in what he does is by outside talks, yeah, or talks in general. And he's regularly getting 150, 200 people to turn up to his
paid guests,
yes, to turn up to his talks, which then lead to 30, 40, 50, 60 new patients into not only his practice, but he does this with other practitioners as well, into their practices. Mm. So he goes into how he does it. How does he get bums on seats? How does he close it? What are some of the key ingredients to having this be a successful event for you, for the punters, and for your practice?
Yeah. How long should your talk be? How many topics should you talk about inside of that talk? How do you close the talk at the end that has people come into you? And most of all, here's what's really cool about this. He does this in a totally cool and helpful way. There's no hardcore and high-pressure sales at the end of his talk, anything like that. He delivers massive value. He massively builds on this concept of people knowing, liking, and trusting. And the end result of that is bucket loads of people raising their hand, wanting to come into his practice as well. So if you're wanting to find an avenue to go out into your community, if you love public speaking or if you want to learn how to do that better, then you're going to really love this episode. Damo's strategies are brilliant. Says a couple of bits and pieces, particularly with how he actually fills people, gets people there, how he fills his classes with people as opposed to with dogs. But how he gets people there to his classes is terrific. I've never heard anybody going about it that way beforehand. Mm. Super effective. He's a nice guy. Let's jump on and listen to Damien Christoph.
Damien Christoph, welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast. Great to see you.
It's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me, guys. It's a great pleasure. I'll admit this, that I've been watching these podcasts and I've seen my mates on there, I've seen Piercy on there, I've seen LT on there, and I'm going, what do I have to do to get on this podcast? So yeah.
Well, after our little encounter last night, and we thought we'd get you on, so it's all happy days here. Sometimes, you know, it's just doing some favours for the hosts, but we've got you on. Because you are someone who was, you know, podcasting before podcasting was cool, doing talks before doing talks was cool, being on TV before TV shows were being cool. Like you've
he's 147 years old.
Yeah. I mean, I reflect on it too, dude, when I met you probably 18 years ago now, down in Traralgon, a country town here in Australia. You were practicing naturopath. I was locuming as a chiropractor early days, and it was a long time ago now, and you've done a whole lot. So we want to dive into some of those things you've done and the lessons you've learned and how people can really, take the next step in getting themselves out there in their community and building a busier practice by serving more people.
Yeah, great, mate. Well, I can't wait to share all that sort of stuff, but I remember those times too in Gippsland. Fondly, obviously, I think you were around at the time that Jackson was either about to be born or was just born. And he's now, Angus is going through the same thing. Like, we've now got children that are adults and Jackson's about to move out of home. So he's about to move out of home and he's off to university. And so life's so different now. But I remember looking at this tall, unbelievably handsome fella working as a chiropractor thing. I want to be like him. So I better eat more pea so I can get the height up.
Thanks, buddy.
Maybe go and study Cairo. And then I met Tony after that. So it's amazing. Like, there are unbelievable links. Like, the three of us have been connected so many times. The people that bind us so profound, like with Gary and Di, and their influence on the industry. And I've learned a lot of things from them, as I know you boys would have learned from Gary and Di as well. So, little shout out to Gary and Di Coleman, back in Traralgon now, doing their thing.
Yes.
And, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have met each other. There's no way.
Full circle.
That's it.
Well, how about this, buddy? If people, and when we have a global audience listening from, you know, as a global audience, as I have, tend to be all around the world, but for those people that don't know about you, give them a little thumbnail, take them through what got you to today. And then today we're going to talk all about one of the things that you do a beautiful job of. You're just such a great public presenter across all areas there too. And we're going to dive into this concept of how do I get more community talks, and then how do I parlay those community talks into a practice full of, you know, thriving, raving fans as well. But let's bring people up to speed in terms of what got you to who and where you are right now.
Cool. Thanks, AP. So essentially, we'll cut a long story down. Like, we're talking years and years of stuff. But I always loved talking, but not in big groups. In fact, big group talks really scared me. I never wanted to speak in front of big groups. And after I got into studying to be a chiropractor and I moved back to Melbourne from Traralgon, I met a bloke by the name of Brian Kelly. And Brian, who everybody who's watching this podcast would have heard of Brian. If they haven't, they're not into chiropractic. I was invited. Brian said to me at one point, come down and get checked and get adjusted. And so I did, and I got checked and adjusted at his practice in Ivanhoe. And then my family went there, and we all, you know, fell very much in love with chiropractic. And then Brian said to me, Damien, you're studying at RMIT, how's that going for you? And I said, look, mate, I've had a few challenges, a couple of lectures, and I don't get on very well. We've had a few run-ins. I've been kicked out of a few classes. He said, you're the kind of person we need in New Zealand. And so he said, why don't you come to New Zealand and study to be a chiropractor? So I left, and my whole family and I were actually, Michelle and Jackson were going over to New Zealand. And then Michelle's and my relationship fell apart. And Jackson and Michelle stayed in Australia. I moved to New Zealand, and I went to work in another practice with a lady by the name of Dr. Sheridan Kay. And so we, all of us who have studied Thompson would now know who Sherry is. And I leased a space in the back room of her practice to practice naturopathy. And I employed a girl by the name of Becky Collins to be my kind of naturopath associate, just to help me, you know, get things going in New Zealand. And while I was there, we put together this program, this weight loss program, and Becky Collins used to date a guy by Zach Dowker, Eric Dowker's son. I don't know if you remember Zach or you know Zach, but anyway, she used to date him, and she decided that she was going to move back to Australia. And so she left the practice. Not long after she left, I got a phone call asking for Becky, and she'd left. And Tamara, who was the receptionist at the time, said, oh, Becky's left, would you like to speak to Damien? And this lady who was on the other end of the phone happened to be the producer of a TV show, and she said, Damien, we'd like you to write our presentation, or write our programs, our weight loss programs for this TV show. And I said, sure, no worries, can we meet? So we met up, and she asked me to be the presenter of this TV show, and I didn't know what a presenter was. And she basically said, you're basically going to speak to the camera. Like, you'll be the person who the TV show is about, taking people through this journey of weight loss. And I said, okay, cool. So I was a naturopath renting a space at the back end of a chiropractic practice. I've been asked to go and audition to be a presenter. I get the TV gig. All of a sudden, things are getting bigger. I needed to leave Sherry's practice, and I went and worked with Brian Kelly. And Brian said to me, Damefa, you've got to do public talks, you've got to put on a talk. So I wrote a talk called The Power of Food. And The Power of Food is a talk that I still do now. But I wrote this talk, and I reckon I must have had about 1 million slides, because the talk went for nearly 3.5 hours. We had about 80 people at the talk. I know, right? I had 80 people at the talk. I basically tried to teach them everything I knew on nutrition and everything that I knew about naturopathy, and I was studying to be a chiropractor, and there was 80 people in the front reception for my first talk. And I reckon people fell asleep. I just didn't notice it. But the next time I advertised for this talk, I think I had 2 people turn up, and that was it. And so Brian said, maybe you might want to look at how much content you're giving, and maybe you might want to consider what sort of things you're sharing with people, and maybe you might want to make a few changes. So I trimmed the talk right down to be around about 90 minutes. And then I went to a New Zealand college, it could have been a Lyceum event, but a guy by the name of Matt Church was speaking, and he was speaking on stress and chemicals associated with stress. It was called the High Life. And I was taken back by the knowledge that this guy had. He was a biochemist and he was a really great public speaker. And I thought to myself, I've got to be a better public speaker. So I went and did Matt's speakership course. And I think I paid $3,000 or $5,000 at the time as a student, studying full-time and working in a practice that was growing and doing this TV show. I paid $4,000 or $5,000 on top of my school fees to go and learn how to be a better speaker and how I could pull together a proper presentation. And it paid off in buckets, because in being able to craft a story and tell a story, it meant that my power of food then went from a whole big information dump of death by PowerPoint to a presentation that is engaging but also educational and entertaining. So I learned that craft by paying somebody to teach me how to do it. And it was off the back of probably what Matt taught me. I now do, you guys, less famous than you guys. And I just I get to do that sort of stuff and I really enjoy it. So the Power of Food has now become a presentation as opposed to just a seminar. Now I've got the Crack Your Stress Code. And so now when I do these talks, I want an audience of about 200 people. Because I know that when I've got an audience of 150 to 200 people, I'm going to get somewhere between 30 to 60 new patients for the practice that I'm doing these talks for. Mm. So we generate, I've done this talk in Sandringham in Victoria. I've done this talk, 2 to 3 times a year for the last 7 years. And we always get somewhere between 25 and 40 new patients every single time I do this talk. And so it's not a talk that gets tired. It's just that it's information that needs to get out there. So there's much to do with the presentation as there is much to do with the way in which the presentation comes across. But then there's how do we get bums on seats and how do we actually, make a presentation help it grow our practice. And so, let's go down there. But that's how I got to where I am now.
Well, let's dive in, because you did your training. You said you went from death by PowerPoint to over journey. What are the big mistakes that people make when they're putting a presentation together? What were the key things that you learned? I think you said it was Matt's training there that you went, the big ahas, all right, these are the takeover. This is what I was able to implement that made a huge difference to how I presented.
Yeah. I'll tell you this other one thing that's really fascinating, because people that I did this course with Matt were people like Dale Beaumont, Taki Moore, Lawrence Tam. So all these guys also went along to Matt's programs and learned how to speak with Matt. So, there's some wisdom in looking at some of the people that have come through that. Dale Byron's kicking goals, Taki Moore's kicking goals, LT kicking goals. So there's some really great, speakers there that have done his course. So the thing that we learned was to be able to grab a concept. So let's say, for example, I think it's really difficult to speak to the public on chiropractic if you're a chiropractor. What you can do is you can weave in concepts and philosophies around chiropractic and what chiropractors do into subjects like food and nutrition or movement and exercise or mindfulness and the nervous system and those sorts of things. So you can weave in what chiropractic does, but most people don't want to sit through a presentation of 90 minutes or even an hour or even 45 minutes just listening to what a chiropractor does. That's kind of not that sexy. So it's about finding a topic that resonates. So we've had topics that have resonated over the last few years. So paleo's resonated, vegan's going to resonate more over the next, 3 to 5 years as vegan, rises up and starts to take hold and people are more and more aware of, the welfare of animals, et cetera, et cetera. We'll see that keto will have its place, but I think that where chiropractors can do a better job in presenting out into the audiences is to not jump onto a bandwagon of a fad. Because when we jump onto the bandwagon of a fad and then we become identified as being a chiropractor that practices with this and then has this fad attached to what we do, we can alienate a marketplace. And so it's good to keep, you know, if we look at what I've spoken about with food over the years, I haven't gone full paleo and I haven't gone full vegan or vegetarian. I've always been about whole food and how a balanced diet is important. So the message has then remained relevant. So I've used this message for probably the better part of 15 years now, the same message, and it hasn't become dated because it's simple principles that can be applied all the time. So the other thing that I think that a lot of people try to do is create new talks all the time. And when you create a new talk all the time, you never master it. So if you, you know, if you can pull together one or two or three talks and you master those talks and you continue to do those talks, they become your lead generators. And you want to have big lead generating talks that you master, because at any point, if somebody stops your flow, you can go back into flow and continue to talk, as opposed to having to, okay, so where was I up to? What do I need to speak about? What was I saying? I said that before, or oops, that slide wasn't meant to be in there, or whatever else, and you can't come back from it, you lose rapport. So I'd always recommend that people try and master a talk, just one talk, before they move on to the second talk that they want to master, before they move on to the third talk that they want to master. And I've only just started mastering my third talk, and we're talking 15 years down the track. Now, maybe I'm a slow mover, but I do 26 to 30 presentations a year of either the power of food or crack your stress code. And now I'm doing gut intensive. So the gut intensive links chiropractic and the spine of the nervous system to the gastrointestinal health. Like, that's a really sexy thing right now, is to understand how the nervous system controls the gastrointestinal system and how from conception there's a link there that we can't ignore that chiropractic can influence. You know, how does the sympathetic nervous system govern gastrointestinal function or affect gastrointestinal function? We get to talk about that. So I haven't mastered that talk yet, but I'm in the process of mastering it. I've done it maybe 9 or 10 times. I reckon I'm another 9 or 10 times away from mastering it. Mm. But we'll get there. But power of food, I've got it. Crack your stress code, I've got it. And so it's finding a topic that you're passionate about, that you know enough about, and then elaborating on that topic.
Yeah, I think it's a good point, because, you know, so many people we talk to go, like, oh, I want to start doing some community talks, but no one seems interested in it. Well, if you're heading down to the local business and saying, hey, listen, I've got this great talk on chiropractic, or if you're a Chinese med practitioner, I've got a great, like, no wonder they're not interested. Mm. You know, when you can find, you know, what are the needs? Everybody wants to know about, you know, stress, as you talked about before. Everyone wants to know about how they can eat better to impact their performance. And then this gut thing is that too. So then what I'm hearing you saying is stop trying to talk about your profession, but really learn how you can link what you do into that kind of topic from there as well. What about as far as kind of presenting skills? So you go, okay, I needed to change the way I put my information together. Did Matt teach you about the quantity talk, the actual presenting skills? Are there ways that we can become more effective with that?
Yeah, and it's about telling stories. So a slide for me is a prompt. It doesn't give me much information other than, it doesn't give the audience much information either, because if the slide gives all of the information, then there's no reason why somebody will listen to you, because they'll read that information. So I have a slide that gives us context, and then that context helps me tell a story based on what that context is. So the content then becomes flexible with the audience that I've got. So let's say, for example, I've got a picture up of chocolate in the background, and it's chocolate pieces. And so I might ask a question, you know, when is chocolate good to eat for breakfast? You know, and that'll get people laughing. And I'll say, you know, people yell out Mother's Day or Easter or whatever. And then, you know, I'll usually say, oh, Wednesday. There's always someone who says Wednesday, and that gets a big laugh, and it's just another icebreaker. And then I'll start to talk about the concept of, you know, processing. So the more processed something is, the more difficult it is for the body to receive signals that tells it to stop eating. So if the simpler something is, the more significant and rapid the impact is on the body. but the less intelligent that food actually is to be able to tell our body to stop eating it. So I then go into an analogy of, you know, if we're using apples, let's say, for example, I've got 18 apples and I try to eat 18 apples versus the same amount of calories from bags of chips. Like the bags of chips might give me 800 calories and 18 apples will give me 800 calories, but it's very hard to eat 18 apples, whereas it's very easy to eat two chips. And so two dishes which tie into the least amount of interference, the better, which is a chiropractic concept, right? And then I'm talking about food that has intelligence versus food that has information. And so this is all about, it started off with the slide that spoke about chocolate. So I'm weaving in stories with a slide in the background that talks about chocolate. So people are then engaged in understanding the idea of highly processing food as opposed to, okay, is chocolate good or bad for me? Or, okay, apples, 18 apples is 800 calories. And what I'm trying to get across here is the point that the least amount of processing of food, the better. So I use a slide for context and then I build content into the slide and tell stories around the content. And that's important. So the ability to tell a story, to weave in a joke or to weave in some humor, just to break it up a little bit, be a little bit self-deprecating, but not too self-deprecating, you know, be a little bit silly, but not too silly. And really try not to alienate with opinion, you know, so don't say that such and such got it wrong or such and such got it right and that's the only way to go. Be kind of middle ground with the information that you're speaking about, but provide links to the reason why you're a chiropractor. If you're a chiropractor watching this, and if you're a Chinese medicine person watching this or a naturopath watching this, then you want to link in some of your philosophy, because the thing that defines our professions is our philosophy. So a chiropractor is different to other professions because of our philosophy. A naturopath has a philosophy of nature cure. Chinese medicine talks about yin and yang and energy and kidney chi and all those sort of things. And so you want to be able to talk about that in the context of your stories, which is really important. So for me, my second slide in my presentation says, I've got behind me, I've got a little plant that's growing. And to say that all nutrition programs are based on a philosophy. And this particular talk is going to talk about the philosophy that I use to underpin all of my nutritional information. That's a philosophy that I learned in chiropractic. And so I say that the power that made the body heals the body. In all living things, there's an intelligence that gives to it the ability to hold itself in form, give rise to growth, and to keep it alive. So I've paraphrased there some of the principles of chiropractic in a way that people can understand it, so that then when I tie that in to what it is that I do, and that is that I'm a chiropractor, and that today I'm talking about nutrition, but they're linked, I can use that philosophy to, you know, to bring that back. And so they're the linking things, but it starts on my second slide, and then all of my stories from then on, you know, link back to that philosophy.
Awesome. Damo, if you're teaching someone, you know, we want to do more talks. You started in your practice, is that right? Or do we go and get a venue that holds 200 people, or do we practice on the 3 people that come next week and then the 10 people? And how do you recommend doing that?
I think if you've got a profile, let's say, for example, you've been writing for a magazine, you've been writing for a newspaper, or you're on the local radio station, or you've got something like that, then you can probably go for a big... if your members think you're a superstar and, you know, you could get 100 people to come along and listen to a talk, and you feel totally confident that you've got this talk absolutely nailed, and that if you do this talk this once, then 100 people will tell another 100 people to come down, and you might have 200 people there the next time. If you think that you've got your talk so sewn up and so polished that you can deliver to a large group of people, then go for gold. But my best advice is that if you're just starting out, and I did this with my gut intensive. I first did my gut intensive talk to one person, and we videoed it, and I watched it, and then we thought, oh yeah, that's good enough to put up. I put it up online, and maybe I think I had 30 people watch it, and I was like, okay, cool. So now I can actually improve on that and start to elaborate more and link things back. And now I'm doing this gut intensive talk in a couple of days. What are we? Yeah, in like 9 days' time, I'm doing this gut intensive talk. And I think we've got 120 people booked in to see it. And so I'm doing it with Kale Brock. and he'll speak for an hour, I'll speak for an hour, and we're confident that we'll get nearly 200 people there. But it's a risky thing to go and spend $1,000 on a venue to see 200 people if you don't think you can actually pull that crowd. So my best advice would be to start small, make heaps of mistakes, work out what works, what jokes fall, what jokes stick, what information's relevant, what you can explain really well, what you can't explain really well, because what might seem to be a really good concept on a slide might just go down like a sack of spuds. Like it might not come across really well. It might actually, and some of your information might come across as arrogant, and some of your information might come across as being not very confident. And so it's good to maybe start with your CAs if they're willing to listen to you, or maybe start with some practice members that you feel comfortable with. Say, look, I'm wanting to pull together a little talk. I'd love it if you'd be part of my my first audience, my first panel. I'm happy to put on some sushi. Would you, you know, come and watch it with me so that I can present it and see what you think and get some feedback from it and be open to honest feedback. You know, select three or five people in your practice that you know would say yes. Put on some dinner and some kombucha, whatever. I'd prefer champagne or whatever else. But make it a tiny little event that makes them feel special, that you've actually included them to be part of your board of advisors, and let them actually, you know, give you some advice as to what you might improve. The reality is that most of the time to your face, they go, that was great, that was really, really good. But if you preface it and say, I would really love you to give me some honest feedback about what works, what's interesting, what's not interesting in this year. That'd be great. And maybe you could actually have a little form for them that's got 3 or 5 or 10 questions on there that said, you know, did you enjoy it? What could have been better? You know, was it relevant? Was it boring? Did I lose you any point? You want to find out that information and then you want to retest it. Just like you guys talk about, you know, testing your campaigns on Facebook and testing your campaigns through emails and all those sorts of things. You want to test this because this is an elite generating campaign. That's what you're doing.
Damon, when you talk about infusing stories through stuff, so I've got an outline of a talk that I want to give. Where do you mine for stories? How do you come up with them? Is there a process that you go through? How do you come up with all the stories that you weave through a talk?
One of the greatest ways to tell a story is to use metaphors. And Matt spoke about a book, and I've got it here. I leave it on my desk all the time. It's called I never met a four I didn't like. I used to use that book a lot, just to help me draw parallels, because, you know, when you're very linear in your thinking and you're educated and you know what you know is right, it's very difficult to meet people where they're at. And so I'm always trying to find a way in which I can, you know, pull together a story. I had a conversation with a patient just before I came on this call before, and we're talking about gastrointestinal function. I was doing a gut DNA consultation with her, and we're talking about her diversity, her microbiome diversity, and how important it is to have diversity in food and plant-based foods in your diet in order for the microbiome to stay healthy and to get well. And that a high-fat diet is probably one of the worst things you could do for the microbiome, and that a high-protein diet can also stimulate the overgrowth of pathogenic bacteria and non-commensal bacteria. And I said, it's kind of like you want to go to the MCG and you want to fill the MCG with heaps of different people, but mainly Richmond supporters, and you don't want to have a whole lot of Collingwood supporters, right? And so that's what I said to her, and she goes, I'm a Collingwood supporter. And so my analogy that I thought was going to be unbelievable kind of fell a bit dead, but we had a bit of a laugh about it. And I said, what you want to do, the main thing that you want to do here is you want to get large amounts of good guys, Richmond supporters, and less of the bad guys, and that's going to bring about a really good environment. And she goes, I get what you're trying to say. And so what I'm always looking to do is to try and build a, you know, an analogy or bring in a metaphor that helps me describe what I'm trying to say, so that I don't have to go through all the science, because if I went through all the science of the stuff, it would take forever. So you're trying to use a metaphor to shorten your story, but to give it some kind of meaning and to make it memorable, and that's what I try to do. So that book, I Never Met a Four I Didn't Like, Matt recommended, and I used to start off to get my stories going. But over time, my stories have become very, very easy to tell. It's like second nature now. So And it's amazing how much extra information finds its way into the story as you're trying to tell the story many years on. Maybe there's a few more details in there. Maybe there's a little bit of cream on the top, but really what the main message of the story is still coming through there. Just, it's all about telling the story over and over and over again. It's like the chiropractic story. For us three, as we first started practice, when we started to tell people about chiropractic, what it was very difficult. And people used to say, just get your 30-second elevator pitch sorted out. Well, that was really difficult to do when you first started. But as you become more confident and you've seen a number of people and you've seen results and you get more, you know, you get comfortable with what it is that we do, it becomes easier to tell people what it is that we do. Same for Chinese medicine, same for naturopathy. You know, there's perceptions of naturopaths out there that really all they do is prescribe. The reality of what naturopathy is meant to be is to try and help people find a way that they can heal themselves with food with the least amount of interference possible, which is exactly the same as what chiropractic is, you know, but we get bogged down in trying to sell too many things and we lose the essence and the message of what we're trying to sell, which is nature cure or the power that made the body heal the body. So it's simplifying it down by using stories.
I think I remember listening to Rose Keating a number of years ago, and she talked it because that idea of a metaphor, it's a skill that's developable. It's a skill that you can learn, unlike learning new words. But this idea of, you know, linking one thing to another thing and to practice with it too, you know, the things that seemingly unrelated, you know, how is a spine like grass? And you're like, oh, how do I link the two of them together? Or, you know, you could go down the path of saying, look, you know, when you nurture and look after grass and you care for it, it grows without the, you know, it's the same kind of things.
I was there thinking, you can't smoke the spine. That's different grass.
Yes, but same kind of thing in there too. So that's Tone's example. Just infusing a bit of comedy.
A bit of comedy.
Well, that's funny.
It felt like a lead balloon. Tamo, I want to know this. You're developing this new talk, this gut one. There kind of a number of points that you go, okay, I don't want this talk to cover any more than 4 points or 2 points? Like, do you have a number?
Right. Yeah, three's a magic
Three's the magic number.
Jack Johnson's about being a magic number, and I've always felt that three. And so you'll have one key topic and then three little topics off that. And so when Matt Church talks about his pink sheets and white sheets, he says, find what it is that you want to talk about. Okay, so let's say, for example, let's say it's Richmond Football Club, right? We're going to find three key things that Richmond did in 2017 that got us to the point. So just three key things. So one was that they worked on their mental attitude. Two, they looked to support each other, and three, they had a board that was going to work with the players and the, you know, so maybe it's those three things. Or maybe it was that we got Dusty Martin at his peak, and then we got Trent Cotchin at his peak, and we got Jack Grewald at his peak. So it's three things. So we got main thing is Richmond, then we're finding three things and we're elaborating on that, and that would be 15 minutes to 30 minutes. And then if we're going to say 45 minutes, we might go two topics with three branches off that. If we're doing a 90-minute talk or a 60-minute talk, we might go three key topics with three more things coming off each of those. So you're talking three key branch out ideas off one core topic, one main topic. Mm-hmm. And depending on your knowledge of that, will determine how many topics you can fit into your talk. So for me, a 90-minute talk might be one or two key topics with three branches off each of them. It's very rare. Like, for example, I've got a talk coming up with on headaches that I'm doing for Paul Bergamo. We're talking about nutrition and headaches. He's got his headache symposium coming up, and he's asked me to come and talk on nutrition and the influence of nutrition on headaches and diet on headaches. And because I'm familiar with it, I know that I can pull together three core key topics, and I'll have three breakaway topics for each of those things. But because I'm not unbelievably proficient at it, I'm not going to rely on one core topic and then have three. So I'm going to pad it out with more information as opposed to more content with, you know, one idea. Does that make sense? So the less I know about something, the more topics I want to pull into it. The more I know about something, the less topics I want to pull into it because I'm more expert at it. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense, gang. So it's about knowing your topic so that you can speak about less branches, hey?
So, I mean,
that's right, and it simplifies it.
Yeah.
Let's transition into getting two things. Bums on seats, so how do we get people to our talks? And then how do we transition that into bums in our practice, people actually wanting to make appointments at the end? So first of all, I've got this talk, I've done the hard work, I've got my topic down, I'm all polished with regards to those kind of things. What have you seen that you've been able to do that's worked to get people there? And then obviously, how do we get them into our practice afterwards?
That's a great question. I often find it easier, and in my practice, I found it easier to promote other people to come and talk in my practice. So I find it easier to say, I've got Cale Brock coming to speak at, you know, at Sandringham Yacht Club. You've got to get along to listen to Cale. It's excellent. Or got Lawrence Tan coming to speak on mindset. I've got Marcus Pierce coming to speak on aging well, or whatever it is. So I find that easier to do than to sell myself. However, with the three talks that I do now, the two main ones, which are Power of Food and Crack Your Stress Code, we have them put into our diary so that there's a sequence. So every single year I do two Power of Food talks and the Crack Your Stress Code. And the reason why I do that is because people are more interested in food and then they're less interested in stress, but they're interested in it. So I can get bums on seats when I speak about food. So I'll ask all of my practice members, have you seen the Power of Food talk yet? And they'll go, yes or no. If they say yes, I'll go, are you coming to the next one? Because I've got some new information and I can't wait to share it with you guys. So, you know, can you make it to the next one? It's in 5 weeks' time. I'll give it, there's enough time to promote it. So I have that conversation with every single practice member. It doesn't matter if you're seeing 20 people a week, 30 people a week, or 100 people a week, or 400 people a week. You still want to have that brief conversation and you want your CAs to have the same conversation. If they haven't seen it, it's probably the best thing. Then you say, I've got this talk that I've been doing for a number of years. In fact, I've been doing this talk for 14 years. So that's what I say. It's a great talk. It's entertaining. It talks about food, but in a different light. So it's not instructional on that what you must eat or not instructional on what you should avoid. It really talks about what are you doing right with your food right now that you can elaborate on, and then what could you also improve that might actually give you more energy and help your digestion out and get more out of your health and well-being so that from a chiropractic perspective, you actually get healthier as well. Would that be of interest to you? And they would most of the time say yes. And I say, well, we've got tickets for sale at the moment, 2-for-1 tickets out the front. If you speak to the girls out the front, they can sort that out. And so we can organise tickets at the front. Then from a Facebook perspective or from an Instagram perspective, I'm talking about the talk. But in general terms, hey, guys, I've got a talk coming up. If you go to the link below, it's Power Food Talk. You can get tickets at Eventbrite. We actually use something else now called Eventframe. We don't use Eventbrite because they charge too much. So we're using Eventframe, significantly cheaper. And it does the same job. So we use that, and that's been that's the approach that we use. So when we get our basic numbers, let's say it's about 100 people. Let's say we get 100 people, and the number might be more or less. But let's say we get about 100 people. We then email out to each of those people because we collect their email addresses, and we say, we want to fill the house. Have you got somebody else that you'd like to bring along if I gave you a free ticket? And most of the people say, yes, I'd love a free ticket. I can bring somebody else along. So my number one intention is to get bums on seats. I want to do it in a way that it's not salesy. I don't want to sell to people and say, you know, this is the best talk you've ever seen. You've got to get to this talk. If you don't get to the talk, you're going to miss out on so much. It's crucial. You know, sign up or, you know, yada, yada, yada. I don't want to do any of that sort of thing. So for me, if I get bums on seats, I know that I'll convert the room. So I'm going to get bums on seats, and so I'm aiming for 150 to 200 people to turn up to my presentation. At my presentation, I'm also going to have sponsors. So I've been to the local businesses. I might have the local physio. I might have the local cafe. I might have a kombucha brand. I'm definitely going to have Forage there because obviously Forage is my product. I might have Smart DNA there. They might have a little stand. I might have the local massage therapist there, the local podiatrist there, and they all pay $200 to have a table. So they get access to my audience. And so the audience that I've got there, they get access to it. And for their $200, they get 10 tickets that they get to give to their friends or guests or their patients or their customers. They don't have to give them, but they can give them. They've paid $200 to attend our event to get exposure at our event, and they've also got 10 tickets. And invariably, half of those stall holders will give away half of their tickets and we'll get another bunch of people, so another 20 or 30 people coming from our exhibitors on the night. So that will also bump up numbers on the night. So you can see that you can get your 100 plus another, say, 50 or 75 from free tickets, plus another 30 or 40 from your exhibitors, and you're looking at closer to 200 for an event. Mm. And then it's all about telling stories throughout the presentation. So, you know, one of the practices that did a great job, obviously Lottie did an amazing job, AP. Like, she did an amazing job in Lara when she pulled together those talks that I did for her. They were great. She did an amazing job. And then in the same vintage of Lozzie, another practice, Fiona and Luke Tadich out in Yarra Valley, they did a series of amazing talks that hired an incredible venue. And the key thing is the venue. Like, you want to have a venue that's going to reflect the quality of your practice. So it might cost you another $100 or $200 more to get a better venue for the night. But that will come back in spades if you provide a great venue with sparkling water and even, you know, some tea and coffee. People will go, this is pretty classy. I'm going to make sure I bring, you know, Joe, Harry and Fred along to the next talk because I didn't think it was going to be this good. So we do our first Power of Food at the start of the year. We get as many people as we possibly can. And then at the end of the talk, I'll talk about how I close it in a second, but at the end of the talk, I'll say, who loved the talk? Who got so much out of this talk that they wished that such and such had have come? Who's thinking about people that could have come? People put their hands up. I say, well, we're going to do another one in 2 or 3 months' time. Would you be interested if we notify you about the next one that comes up? And they go, yes, yes, please let us know. And so then we email those people a link in the next 24 hours to the next event that's coming up. With a special 2-for-1 ticket offer for those people. And we get a whole bunch of sales straight off the bat, 40, 50, 60 sales straight off the bat to come to the next one, which is in a couple of months, because we're using the excitement and the momentum of that. Yeah. What ends up happening there is that we've got two databases now. We've got a list of people that came to the talk but didn't come to the next one. We've got a list of people that came to the first talk and then came to the next one and brought a guest. And we've got a list of people that didn't come or came to the first one, didn't come to the second one, but told people about it and they came along. And so we've now got three lists of people that we can then market the Crack Your Stress Code, which is more of a chiropractic seminar to those people that are interested. And so we're still going to get closer to 200 people at an event that's probably not as sexy as food, but it's still, you know, really, really good. And that way we will get 600 people attending our events in a year, you know, about 100 people, 90 to 100 people coming into our practice as new people from those events. But then those people will tell other people about the talk that they went to and that they should go to that chiropractor, will go to that practice because of that.
Mm. What a great process.
You just heard it there, folks. So implement it, that strategy there that Damo's done for years and years and years. Which, in other words, brings in hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of business into your practice every year, Damo. But what is the strategy, the secret to getting this conversion happening during the event?
What's most important, I think, is that people like you. And so we look at this at the moment. Like, we look at what we're allowed to put on our website based on the regulations and standards for advertising. And there's not much we can put on our website these days that's educational because any form of education that's on our website seem to be advertising or showing some kind of benefit. So the information that we want to share to people about chiropractic can't really be on our websites. So we've really got to make our websites about how good our practice is and how good we are as people. You know, that we're nice people, that it's worth coming to see us, and that we're a chiropractor and you should come and see us. That's essentially what we can do within the guidelines these days. It's so strict. And maybe we can get away with a few other little bits and pieces, but not a whole lot. So the same thing goes for a presentation. Because it's in the public arena, you've got to be really careful with what you say and what you advertise. And so really what it's got to be is an event that gives information, but has people think, you know, he's not actually kooky, wacky or crazy. Actually, he could be a little bit crazy, but he's not kooky, wacky. So we might give him a go. And so it's about having people enjoy the content, have an entertaining night and go, that presenter knows something. And I think that that might be relevant for me. So because in my presentation, The Power of Food, I weave chiropractic all the way through it, it's very clear that I'm a chiropractor. It's very clear. So I might drop in little lines that might say things like, you know, in chiropractic, we look after the spine. And did you know that each of the spinal nerves have a connection to the organs? And so not only are we talking about connections from up here that go to the gastrointestinal system, but we're talking about connections through the thoracic spine that go to the gastrointestinal system. And if that's healthy, then there's every reason to expect that your body is going to be healthier as a result of taking care of your spine. And I'm a chiropractor and that's what I deal with. So then I'll lead on to, you know, the next thing. I'll then talk about the intelligence of food. And so I might look at a seed, for example, and I go, in living things, there's an intelligence in it. So if I get a seed and I plant that on some cotton wool, give it some water and some sunlight, what's going to happen to the seed? And they're going to go, it's going to grow. And I go, well, it didn't need a PDF download. It didn't need a MIMS, or it didn't need a textbook on how to cure heart disease on, you know, to learn how to grow. That's something called innate intelligence. And it only lives in living things. It only exists in living things. If I baked that seed, if I put that seed in the oven and I cooked it, and then I got that seed and I put it on the cotton wool and gave it some water and some sunlight, would that seed grow? If I've got a dead seed now and I try to grow it, will it grow? And they go, no, it won't grow. And I go, exactly. It's the same. Don't wait for your spine to be sick and unwell before we actually start to look after it. Let it be really well so that we can actually help it get stronger and better. And so I'll throw those little things in there all the time that reinforce the things that I like to do around health and well-being, food and nutrition, and links chiropractic to it. Misty wants to join in.
Yeah.
That's my little cat.
You've got a beautiful pussy cat running around.
Yeah, exactly. So when I get to the end of the show, I'm not really saying, you know, sign up tonight and you can save, you know, and come down and bring everybody and we'll have some red balloons for you. I'm not doing that. I'll say, who here thought that the information tonight might be relevant to them? It's a question. They're going to put their hand up. And I'll lead that. Who here thought the hands are going to go up? You know, do you think that it might be beneficial to understand whether or not your spine's in good health or not? Yes. Who here would benefit then from coming down to our practice to see us? And there's a whole bunch of people that put their hands up. And I say, if you look around, you'll see balloons over there. Our reception team, our CAs, they've got clipboards with lists on there. If you'd like to attend our practice, I've got a special for you. And now, to be clear, this special is available all the time. It's not something that I make up just for the night. I've always got this special and it's within the guideline. So I have a spinal health check, which I have a price on it, and that spinal health check is available to anybody who attends any of our seminars. So it's a spinal health check. If you'd like your spine checked at this price, then go down to the end of the hall, leave your name and your details. We'll contact you within the next 24 hours. And then they come in. And so that's how we do it. It's not a big sell. It's not a hard sell. I don't try and get people to race up and say that, you know, we're limiting this to only 20 spots. It's time limited. I don't do any of that. If somebody calls me up in 10 days' time or 3 years' time and says, I went to one of your seminars and you said that I could come down for a spinal health check and it was this much money, can I still get it? Of course, I'm going to say yes. Mm-hmm. I don't limit it to just that time. And I don't make it sound like it's going to be only one time either.
Yeah. Marketing is one of those things that gets significantly easier when people know, like, and trust you. And if you've just spent 60 to 90 minutes delivering great value, building rapport. They've got those, you know, that touch of self-deprecation through it, humour, great content. Then people are going to know, like, and trust you. Damo, I think we've definitely got a round two. I've got a list of questions we haven't got to yet as well. We need to be kind of cautious of your time there as well. If people, because Damien kind of touched on, Damon goes around to people's practices and does them for this and helps you achieve the same results. He's done it for our practices, both one in Port Melbourne here at Times and out at Lara as well, with all of the results that he just spoke about. How do people find you? Where's the best spot for them to kind of get a little bit more of a taste of Damo, Christoph?
Thanks, AP. If you go to DamienChristoph.com, that's probably the best thing. I'm not hanging around on the socials at the moment. I've kind of taken a break from that. I was getting a bit sucked into that, spending too much time on it. So just go to my website, send me a little message via that, and I'll be able to, you know, catch you. You can go to my Facebook page, my business one, the Damien Christoph, or I think it might be Dr. Damien Christoph, and go to that and send me a message through that. I'm still getting messages, but I'm not on my Facebook page as much anymore. I'm finding, you know, I'm getting low engagement because of the algorithms that Facebook's using now. So I'm finding other ways to meet people and to communicate with people. And so, go to my website and also you could go to my professional page and reach me through there. But I'd love to help you out if you need any, you know, further advice if I can help out in that regard. But also equally love to go and do presentations with chiropractors.
Good. Awesome. We'll have a link down below in the show notes to your website as well. Damo, thanks so much, buddy. Every time we get together, I learn something. I'm further inspired and just love having out with you, mate. So thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks, boys. It's a pleasure. It's my pleasure. Thanks heaps.
Dude, thank you. You're the real deal. See you soon.
See you guys.